And that begins at 12 o'clock on Monday. Well, next, tonight here on BBC Radio 3, the early music show with Lucy Skeeping. So in the few minutes before that, some more piano music by Lennox Barclay. This is his improvisation on a theme of Manuel de Falla. Margaret Fingerhut is the pianist once again. Improvisation on a theme from Manuel de Falla's ballet El Amor Brujo by Lennox Barclay. Margaret Fingerhut was the pianist. And just to return briefly to the theme of Thomas Tallis, who is our composer of the week, English Polyphony by Bird, Tallis and Shepherd is the subject of Discovering Music with Catherine Bott at 5 o'clock tomorrow. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and the World Wide Web. It's now 3 minutes past midnight. Time to join Lucy Skeeping for the Early Music Show.
Welcome to the show. In today's programme, we're looking at the work of a quite extraordinary individual of the 18th century, Dmitri Cantemir. Scholar, orientalist, composer, theorist, linguist, historian, ethnographer, philosopher. There was almost nothing this guy couldn't turn his hand to. Cantemir was one of the foremost intellectuals of Eastern Europe, and he left behind some remarkable contributions to science and the arts. And as if that wasn't enough, he was also a virtuoso player of the Turkish long-necked lute known as the tanbur. There's a tanbur in this first set, along with some other Turkish instruments. First, a taksim, a traditional improvisation led here by the kanun, a type of plucked zither, and joined by the bod viel, the deeper gut strings of the Arabic oud, the tanbur, and the bod kemençe.
Thank you.
a Turkish makam, an ancient form built around very specific rhythmic and melodic rules. And to lead into it, we heard a traditional style improvisation, or taksim. The musicians there, and in most of today's programme, are Hesperian 21, playing a variety of instruments from Eastern Europe and the Middle East. The oud, tambour, kemençe and kanun, along with the European viel. Much of the music we're hearing today comes from a single collection, the Book of the Science of Music, put together in 1710 by Dmitri Cantemir. It's a unique document in many ways. There's lots of information about the theory and style and various forms of 17th century Ottoman music. And it also gives us one of the most interesting general accounts of musical life in the Ottoman world during the period. Mind you, Cantemir himself is just as intriguing, a man who, in a sense, straddled two worlds, Europe and Asia, both in his work and through his own exotic ancestry. He was born in 1673 in Moldavia, into a relatively prosperous family with roots in the old Russian aristocracy. Moldavia, at that time, sandwiched in between Slav and Tatar neighbours, was a sort of international crossroads between the Christian and Islamic worlds, a frontier country which, since the 16th century, had been part of the Ottoman Empire. During Cantemir's childhood, his father had risen to the rank of governor-prince under the Grand Sultan, and expected his son to follow him. But destiny had other things in store for this exceptionally talented young man. The instruments in this next piece are really haunting. Two duduks. They look a bit like wooden recorders, only with a double reed at the mouth end instead of a fipple, and date back some 3,000 years when they were made from bone or cane. They need very careful breath control, and the result, as you'll hear, is a mournful, almost unearthly sound. In this traditional Armenian piece, they're joined by a hand drum. Thank you. a traditional Armenian piece, Chante Danse, performed by two Armenian duduks and drum. So Dmitri Cantemir spent his early childhood at the princely court in the capital of Moldavia. Here, his education prepared him for the amazing diversity of cultures that he'd encounter throughout his life. Not only was he steeped in the traditional education of his day, studying the Orthodox Slavonic texts, but he also took lessons from an erudite Greek monk, an expert in Protestantism, who had strong links with Western culture. At the age of 15, Cantemir was hustled off to Constantinople, now Istanbul, where he'd live more or less for the next 20 years while waiting to succeed his father's throne. On paper, he was a guest of the Sultan, but actually, this was a bit of a euphemism. The truth was, Cantemir was a diplomatic hostage, flesh and blood assurance, if you like, that Moldavia wouldn't have any plans for independence anytime soon. Nevertheless, it was something of a golden exile, and Cantemir used his time wisely. He continued his studies at the Greek Academy and he forged close friendships with European ambassadors. But most important, perhaps, here in the bustling metropolis on the Bosphorus, he could totally immerse himself in the flourishing Ottoman culture. Music was his passion, and like everything he put his mind to, Cantemir swiftly turned into a renowned virtuoso tambour player. The most complete and perfect oriental instrument, he called it, which faithfully and flawlessly reproduces the flow of human song and voice. Performed on the tambour by İhsan Özgün, a specialist in the traditional art of Turkish improvisation. Early 18th century Constantinople was a hive of activity, a multicultural place that sucked in people from all over the empire. Cantemir would undoubtedly have been exposed to a diverse sound world: Islamic, Christian, Armenian and Jewish music, religious chant, secular songs and the trance-like melodies of the Mevlevi dervishes of the Sufi community. And there was also Turkish art music in the courts and the palaces, which the sultans commissioned from some of the great composers of the day. The court musicians were a mixed bunch. The Ottoman prejudice regarding the arts in general led them to relegate the music profession to non-Muslims, and the Sultan's musical retainers included a number of Jews, musicians whose roots went back to the old Spanish community, expelled from the Iberian Peninsula at the end of the 1400s. They may have left their homeland generations ago, but their folk songs they brought with them to their new land, a vast oral repertoire in the old Spanish language of Ladino. Many of the songs are still sung today by their descendants, collected from Sephardic communities in Israel in the early part of the 20th century. This is Los Pajaricos, a mournful melody which seems to perfectly reflect its pedigree, combining an oriental mode with an unmistakable Spanish lilt. Thank you. traditional Sephardi melody from the Jews of Turkey, performed by members of Hesperion 21. In Constantinople, Cantemir's prodigious intellect, his talent as a multilinguist, his musical skills, and his great thirst for knowledge soon earned him the respect of the royal family. He came into close contact with some of the great minds from the world of mathematics, geography, and philosophy. And although he lived almost all his life outside his native country, or maybe precisely because of that, his first literary works were heartfelt homages to Moldavia, a contribution, he wrote, to the glory and the needs of my people. Today they're considered to be landmarks of Romanian literature, but Cantemir's writings extended far beyond the confines of his native culture. His years in Constantinople had made him an expert on the region. He produced several books on Turkish society and history, and as we've heard, unusually for a man of princely rank, he quickly became a celebrated player of the tanbur. He learned the techniques from the Sultan's own teachers, the Orphic minstrels of the Turkish Empire, he called them. And as a thank you, he dedicated to the Sultan his treatise, The Book of the Science of Music. It contained more than 355 pieces, of which 9 were Cantemir's own compositions, all written and transcribed in his own unique system of notation. The idea was to preserve this music for posterity. And indeed, some 30 years after Cantemir's death, several European travellers noted that his music was still extremely popular. Here's another makam from the collection, one of Cantemir's own compositions. A makam is a complex form, a melodic line based on a prescribed selection of notes and intervals, a bit like Schoenberg's famous 12-tone scale, I suppose you could say, and featuring, of course, the distinctive rhythmic patterns of the non-Western tradition. As before, it's preceded by an improvised taksim, played here on the kanun.
Thank you.
Hesperion 21, with music from the old Ottoman world. A taksim to start, followed by a makam, one of Dmitri Cantemir's own compositions. And you can find the full titles of all the music in today's programme on the Early Music Show website. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and today we're exploring the life and work of Dmitri Cantemir, the diverse sound world of the 18th century Ottoman Empire. In 1710, Cantemir finally succeeded to the throne to become Prince of Moldavia. However, he'd ruled for less than a year when he promptly abandoned his Ottoman protector and instead allied himself with Peter the Great of Russia in the war against the Turks. He had his reasons, though. He'd long had a heartfelt desire to liberate Moldavia from the Sultan's empire and, with the help of the Tsar, to establish a dynasty. But it wasn't to be. The Russian army suffered a spectacular defeat, and to save his life, Cantemir escaped into exile in Russia. Now, as advisor to Peter the Great, he was bestowed with honours and official posts of great distinction. And the literary exploits of his youth gave way to substantial historical studies, which he shared with scholars all over the world. He wrote in Latin and Romanian, a history of Moldavia and a chronicle of antiquity, using material gleaned from his time in Constantinople, including some fascinating information about the Grand Seraglio, the harem, a place normally kept well hidden from non-Muslims. In this next set, we'll hear another makam, this time by the Turkish composer Ahmed Edianelli, and again preceded by a taksim. The instruments are the kanun, the tanbur, santur, a sort of laptop cymbalum, and the oud, the large plucked lute-type instrument, still very much the main classical instrument of the Arab lands. First, though, another Sephardi melody, part of the repertoire of the Jews of Spanish origin. It's in something like a rondo form, as you'll hear, constantly returning to the main theme.
Thank you.
Hesperion 21, led by Jordi Savall, with music from the sound world of the old Ottoman Empire. A Sephardic melody, part of the collection made by Israeli musicologist Isaac Levy from fieldwork undertaken in the 1950s. An improvised traditional taksim. And finally, a makam by Ahmed Erdimeli from the collection The Book of the Science of Music, made by Dmitri Cantemir in early 18th century Constantinople. In this next set, we'll hear Cantemir's own Busilik Peshref. But first, more of that amazing duduk sound, an atmospheric lament by the Armenian composer Bade Ashot. Kozelik Pishrif, composed by Dmitri Cantemir. It was performed there by the group Constantinople with Ensemble Encorthes. And before that, we heard a lament played by Hesperian 21. Cantemir died in 1732 at the age of nearly 50. He may have lived in exile for most of his life, first in Constantinople and then, until his death, in the Russian Empire at the court of Peter the Great. But his heart was still in his homeland of Moldavia. In 1714, he became a member of the Royal Academy of Berlin. He wrote in 11 languages, writings on economy and science, ethnographical studies, maps, novels, biographies and histories, even an introduction to Islam for Europeans. And he used his talent for music to produce teaching aids for instrumentalists in order to attain perfection, as he wrote. But above all, it was his History of the Ottoman Empire, published in English, French and German, that earned him the respect of eminent European literary and scientific figures of the 18th and 19th centuries. He was read by Voltaire, by Byron, Victor Hugo and many, many others. Cantemir's name appears among illustrious company, engraved on a plaque outside the Saint-Geneviève Library in Paris. And he left us some 36 original compositions in the Turkish style, including one, controversially at the time, written for the Mevlevi Dervishes, a piece which was said to have influenced Mozart when he was composing Il Seraglio. If Dmitri Cantemir, Prince of Moldavia, isn't so well known nowadays, it's because much of his knowledge, in science at least, has inevitably been superseded. Only music, immune to the passage of time, retains its former mystery, and Cantemir's music still nostalgically evokes a world long vanished. Thank you.
Music Through the Night on BBC Radio 3 with me, John Shea. Hello, and in this part of the programme you can hear a seascape from the turn of the 20th century called La Mer, but it's not by Debussy. Before we get there, the next 70 minutes are devoted to a recital given in Oslo in December 2007 by the violinist Marianne Thorsen and the pianist Håvard Gimse. Sonatas by Brahms and Franck to come later, but they begin with the second of the three violin sonatas by local hero Edvard Grieg. Grieg and his wife were recently married and newly settled in the Norwegian capital when he composed the sonata number 2 in G in 1867.